Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Is it possible that God wanted Eve to pick that fatal fruit from the tree in the Garden of Eden? Join us on a mind-expanding journey into God's intentions for the newly created human race. A journey that may not go where you think. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Today, Erwin Lutzer speaks on lie number 8, that the fall ruined God's plans.
I think we'd all agree that sin certainly ruined paradise. But I have a question for you today. Did sin also ruin God's eternal plan? The average person thinks that God had this plan, that Lucifer was created as an angel, and angels, of course, were to serve God, which they did. And it was God's intention that everything go on well, and then man would be created, and he would serve God, and there be no sin in the universe, and everything be happy, happy, and joyful. That was plan A. But because he gave Lucifer and man free will, the argument goes, therefore they fell and they misused their free will, unfortunately. And so God said, since plan A didn't work out, I'm going into plan B. And what I'm going to try to do is to clean up the mess. And this isn't what I intended, but I'm going to redeem and do the best I can to reverse the curse. That's the way it's generally understood. Well, I want you to know today that I think that that's a misreading of the Bible. I'm going to be saying, and I know that this is difficult to take, but I already prayed in advance that you would have ears to hear. I'm going to take the point of view, which I think I can show you from the scriptures, that this is plan A. This was God's intention. You say, wait a moment. I can't accept that, you say. And then the objections begin to come. And I already know what you're thinking, so to preempt your thoughts, I'll tell you what you're thinking. Two things. First, well, are you telling us that we are just robots? Are you telling us that this whole scheme was laid out and everybody just falls in place and we are puppets on a string and God just pulls those strings and therefore we are play acting? Is that what you're saying? That's your first question. The second question that you ought to be asking if you aren't is, what does this say to us about God? A God who would choose this scheme with all of this horrendous evil, with all of this gratuitous suffering, what does this say about him? Can I trust a God like that? Well, as you know, this is a series of messages entitled 10 Lies About God and How You Might Already Be Deceived. We've discussed the lie that God is whomever we want him to be, the lie that he can be approached by anyone at any time in any way, the lie that he's more tolerant than he used to be, the lie that he has never personally suffered, the lie that he is obligated to save followers of other religions, that he takes no responsibility for natural disasters, and last time, the lie that he cannot foresee the decision that free creatures make. Today, we come to lie number 8, the lie that the fall ruined God's eternal plan. Now, I have to warn you that today we are going to go through some deep theological waters. I hope that you brought, perhaps if not swimwear, at least some wading boots, because there are going to be times when we might not be able to touch the bottom, and we're going to have to swim. But I'm so glad that you are here. And the reason that I am preaching this message is because, first of all, I want us to be able to worship God as we have never worshiped him before. That's the goal, the primary goal. The secondary goal is that by the time this message is over, hopefully, that we will be able to trust Him as we have never been able to trust Him, accepting both the bitter providences that come into our lives as well as the pleasant ones, that we will truly believe and trust and love Him. That is the goal of this message. That's where we are headed. But between there and here, we have some territory to traverse. So I want you to relax. I know that I am preaching and you are listening and you don't have the opportunity to talk back to me. At least I encourage you not to, except very silently. But I wish, actually, that this were a discussion just in our living room between you and me. I want you to pretend for the next few moments that you are the only person listening to this message. And I am looking into your eyes, and I'm doing most of the talking, but I am anticipating some of the problems that you're going to have, so it turns out to be more of a dialogue than you might have at first suspected. Let's just relax and think about God when He existed all alone. Before there were stars, before there were angels, before worlds were spun into existence, before humanity, all that there existed was just God, the Trinity. Now, you know, as we've been emphasizing in this series of messages, God did not choose the attributes that He has. He didn't wake up someday and say, I want to be merciful and holy and loving and just. That's who He is. He didn't say to Himself, I'd like to be a Trinity. He was a Trinity. And God in that state was totally complete. Did He have great lacks? No. The Apostle Paul said on Mars Hill, God is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. The fellowship in the Trinity was so special and so unique, and the wonder of His beauty occupied Him, and God was indeed content. Now, if you ask the question, well, first of all, how long was it that God was in existence from eternity past, of course, and how many eons passed by before He created the worlds? Or if you say, what was He actually doing before He created the world? Then I can do no better than to quote the words of the great theologian Calvin, who said he was preparing a hell for people who ask those questions. Nobody knows. He hasn't seen fit to tell us. But according to Jonathan Edwards, another great theologian, he said that the reason that God created is that it was a spillover of His own glory. It was just like a fountain that was about to burst. And God said, I want to create the stars, and I'll create billions of them, and I want to create the worlds, and so forth. And so God made the decision to create. Why did He create, however? That's the question. Well, I want you to know that the Bible to that question gives a consistent answer in dozens of verses. For example, it says in Isaiah 43, verse 7, bring my sons from afar, daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. For His glory. You'll notice the scripture says in Jeremiah, why did He elect Israel to be my people so that I might receive praise and honor? Why is it that He redeemed them out of Egypt? The scripture says He saved them for His name's sake, to make His power known. Why did Jesus come to this earth? In Romans chapter 15, Jesus said that He came to die to win praise for God from among the Gentiles. And why did Jesus die on the cross? Paul says in the book of Romans, God set forth Christ to declare His righteousness. That was the first purpose of the cross. And if you ask the question, why does God even lead us? He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And why is it that Jesus is coming back to earth? in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be admired. My new NIV, I think, says to be marveled at among those who believe. God is relentlessly, consistently self-serving. His glory is what matters. You say, well, isn't that selfish? I mean, how can God be so self-absorbed? And that's not too strong a term at all. Well, think it through. He has to be, because obviously if he is God, and if he is a good God, he is going to value that which is of highest value. As John Piper has pointed out in some of his books, God values himself because there is nothing else in the universe that is more valuable than God. And so, of course, he values himself. The reason that self-absorption is so wrong for us is because we are valuing something that is second rate. We are valuing the creation rather than the Creator. And that's why God invites us to join him in the adoration and praise and value that he attaches to himself. And that is the purpose of it all. You say, well, where do we fit in? Is he loving and so forth? I need to remind you that the next message in this series deals with the lie that we have to choose between God's pleasures and our own, where I hope to show that if we choose the greatest pleasure, we will choose God's will and God's way. So here we have God. Why did he create for his glory? Why did he create for Christ? It says in the book of Colossians, by him were all things created. Look at how exhaustive this verse is. By him were all things created, whether visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. I'm not going to, but I would like to say 10 times in a row, by him and for him. By him and for him. Now, let's go back and think of God. Here he is. He's omnipotent, all power. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Imagine having the power to do whatever it is you want to do. And by the way, I cannot stop here to discuss all of these theological issues, so I'm just throwing these things as we go through. But it would have been possible, you know, for God to create beings who would always worship him, who would always desire him, who would always serve him, like the good angels or like we're going to be in heaven. There's nothing that stands in God's way. His options, so far as we know, were limitless. So here's a God with awesome power. Here's a God with awesome knowledge because he knows all things. You can take the message that we preached last time and put it right here. There is nothing that can catch him off guard or take him by surprise. Our plans are sometimes frustrated, aren't they, because of lack of knowledge.
Erwin Lutzer has begun The Lie That the Fall Ruined God's Plans, the 8th of 10 lies about God. Next time, more on the God who planned everything from the beginning. 10 Lies About God can be yours as a CD series, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.